Welcome to the Guitar Channel. I am super happy to welcome you a new interview. I am in the middle of the Hunting Park facility where all the magic happens with the Friedman amplifier and pedals happen. Dave, did you actually survive the NAMM today?
For the most part, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe a little sick. Yeah, not too bad.
It was a NAMM number. Which number was it for you?
Oh, how many years have we been exhibiting? Yeah. With Boutique Amps Distribution 6. Before that, maybe 8 years we've been doing it. Okay. With Friedman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's your best and worst memories of past edition of the NAMM?
Well, last year, okay. I got sick right in the middle. Pretty sick. Okay. So that wasn't good. That wasn't a good memory. And you know, the good memories, I always have fun at NAMM, so it's all the great artists that come in and play and stuff, and it's fantastic, yeah.
Yeah. Anything special you would like to mention for this 2020 edition?
Well, things we've come out with this year, is that what you're talking about?
Some stories which happened at the show, at the booth.
Well, it's always a pleasure when Doug Rappaport comes in, and we did a little run through of some of the new products with Doug Rappaport. Always fun for that, you know, amazing player. And, you know, we showed all our new products that we're having at the show, where we're the Twin Sister amplifier, which is our two-channel Dirty Shirley amplifier. We showed the new updated SS100 Steve Stevens V2. And we showed a limited run edition amp with Jakey Lee called the JEL. It's a limited edition, a 50 piece in the US 50 in Europe signed amplifier I did with Jakey Lee. And we also have a new small box pedal, which simulates all the sounds out of our small box amp.
Very cool. So basically I have behind me the new Steve Stevens amplifier, right? Correct. That's correct, here. Yeah. And the Jakey Lee head.
Okay. And back here, hard to see, but it's the twin sister.
Yeah, I loved it. I was there when the people from Undertones were there shooting the video, and Sammy Boller was playing the amplifier and was just sitting in a corner very quietly, and the sound was really amazing. What kind of response? Is there one specific product that you had really a lot of response from people trying the gear at the show?
All of them, really. All of them? Yes, all of them are really popular. Mm-hmm. So I don't think one outshadowed the other. You know, they were all, people were very interested in all three of them, four of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think the NAMM is really a pleasure to exhibit, or is it more of a necessary evil for your business?
Ah, that's a good question. I tend to like NAMM, but it is a necessary evil also, maybe. It's a lot of work and expense, great expense to manufacturers to go. Mm-hmm. I wonder if in the long run it's the best business model.
We'll see what
the future holds. You know,
do you go to other guitar shows? I know that your team goes to I saw them at the Guitar Summit. Denis Schock was there with plenty of your guitar and amplifier, but do you yourself go to other guitar shows?
The other one, occasionally we've done Summer NAMM.
Oh, yeah?
We do Sweetwater Gear Fest every year, which Sweetwater puts on, which is sort of a miniature Summer NAMM.
Yeah.
Last year it was bigger than ever, so I would consider it a trade show at this point. There were manufacturers even showing new product at the Sweetwater show, which was interesting. We've done Cosmo Gear Fest before.
Okay.
We've done a few others, yes, like Guitar Summit is done by our team. I haven't gone yet, but.
And you also did last year a little European tour. So do you plan to do this again or on a regular basis?
We'll probably be doing it on a regular basis. I'm not exactly sure what the plans are for this next year now. We just got back from NAMM.
Yeah.
Let's have a break here. A little break, yes. Yeah.
Did you have some time to walk around the alley at NAMM and to check out other gear?
I did. I took better part of one morning, walking around at least the hall, our hall.
Yeah.
Which is mostly the guitar stuff, and there were some great stuff. It was a really positive energy at the show this year, I thought.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, it seemed good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are here, so at Huntington Park. Huntington Park, it's difficult to say for me, especially after so many days, so tiring at NAM, but I'm trying to keep with it. So all the Friedman amps and pedals are built here in the US, and you've been building there all the time, or is that some kind of a new facility for you?
We've been building with Boutique Amps Distribution since 2014. Yes, all the pedals and amplifiers and everything is done right here, okay, including cabinets and everything.
Okay. Can you walk us through your building process? I mean, I guess first you come up with an idea either by yourself or by talking with an artist or a product you want to develop in your shop. And then at one point, is it ready to come here to go to the production? I guess it's not just an just don't clap your hand and bang.
I wish. It depends on the product. It varies. Sometimes we'll have an idea, and then we'll try to set out to accomplish that goal. Mm-hmm. Sometimes an artist will have an idea for something, and oh, yeah, we'll try that. Sometimes someone asks me to modify an existing product, and it becomes something really cool after, and we're like, oh, we should offer that as a product. I think that would be a great option. So It varies, you know, varies how we come up with the new ideas. But then, yes, a prototype's made, and then we start implementing, putting it into production, which is always a great feat.
Okay. And for example, this amplifier initially was just one channel, right? And so you just released the two channel version. How long does it take from the initial prototype to the finished product that people can actually buy now?
It depends on what the product is. Okay. In this particular amplifier, really maybe only a few months before NAM, we started, well, maybe three or four months before NAM, we started thinking about doing it, and then we got a prototype PC board for the inside of the amplifier, and then we put it together, you know, within a few weeks before NAM, and then got it together. And then we've already ordered the parts to manufacture it. So we're just waiting on the parts, like chassis and the boards that go in it and things like that. It just depends on the product and how long it takes to manufacture and wait for part lead times and different things. So, you know, it could be anywhere from 3 or 4 months to 6 months of waiting for things.
Do you have some time to go back to the drawing board because I don't know, a prototype you built is not actually feasible cost-wise to make it in the production, so you need to rework everything?
Well, sometimes we make the prototypes and then we get some feedback and then we decide to change it.
Okay.
So then we start over again. You know, that happens. That happens a lot, actually, you know. You know, I think I should have done that. You know, that would be better. I think I'm going to do that. Let's make the change.
Okay.
Let's, you know, and sometimes it holds up products and things. Or sometimes you find things, a fault or something that you didn't see at first. And then you find it, and that will hold up production also.
What are the challenges you meet in production compared to, let's say, being just a boutique builder, boutique amp builder in your shop?
Problems, I don't think that's the issue. Actually, it's easier.
Really?
Okay. Because this facility, we do everything under one roof. Mm-hmm. So we have our cabinet builders and our Tolexers. We can do stuff quickly.
Okay.
So if you want a red cabinet and you know, whatever color panel, we can do it custom for you, but we can do it within a week, you know, or less. So we can turn on a dime. We don't have to order this product from an outside vendor where we're waiting for them to deliver it, and you don't know when it's coming. So we are fortunate to have everything under one roof. So we're not reliant on any external vendors for anything, except maybe chassis and things, you know, transformers. But we don't make those here.
And how do you make sure that you have the best supply possible for tubes? Because we know that tube quality can vary a lot. So how do you do that?
Well, I've selected what has proven to show the best reliability on the market. And not only do we get the tubes tested from whatever vendor that might be, But then we retest them ourselves.
Okay.
And then we also burn in the amplifiers for 24 hours ahead of, you know, before they're final tested.
Mm-hmm.
So then we really put the tubes through their paces to make sure that they're going to keep working. And
explain a little bit more that burn-in process. What do you do exactly?
Well, the burn-in process, when the amplifier is finished and the basic testing is done on it, it's put on a burn-in rack where a signal is run through the amplifier. And the amplifier is put up to close to full volume, well, maybe not quite full volume, but quite loud into a dummy load, mm-hmm. and then it's burned in that way for 24-hour period.
24 hours, mm-hmm. okay. And it helps to what to get rid of faulty components. If something is going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong at around that time frame?
Correct. Mm-hmm. So if a tube is going to fail, it will probably fail running it like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so we saw that during the tour that each and every treatment amplifier, whereas the huge monster or the smaller amp, gets through your hand and you test and them test mm-hmm. each and every one.
Yeah, I do all final play testing of each amplifier that leaves this facility.
Okay.
So I listen for consistency between the amplifiers. I listen for faulty components or stuff that is broken during the burn-in process mm-hmm. or different mm-hmm. things. And then I sign every chassis and initial the side of every chassis.
Nice. Do you have a reference amplifier for each model or do you have them in your mind already?
We do have production references,
yeah.
but I know what they sound like. Okay. I mean, I'm just already know. And when I'm doing it, I'm using an amp switcher. So I compare four amps at one time into one cabinet. So by doing that, if one amplifier out of that four sounds different, you know right away, I go, well, wait, what's wrong with that? That doesn't sound right. Because
mm-hmm.
the other three sound this way, but that one doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you know when something's wrong.
Yeah. We are at the beginning of 2020. What are the exciting projects you have in store for the rest of the year?
Oh, I don't know if we can talk about everything, but right
sure,
now
we can talk. Sure.
Right now we have to, get these products on the market. So
yeah.
we have to get them out the door. So that's the project right now.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, there's some other stuff that we've already started development on for next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to finish that stuff, but I can't really talk about it yet.
Okay. And the ballpark, length of time it takes you from an idea to a finished product. It depends, I guess, on the product, or it can take you years or months or.
It could be. It depends on the product. I mean, the average thing might be a year.
Mm-hmm.
could be as short as 6 months. Could be as long as 2 years.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
just depends on what the product is.
Is there a trend you see in the tube amp market between what you saw initially when you started to do this business and now?
I think we're seeing a lot of people wanting smaller amplifiers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are quite popular, 20 watt, around that range. Although we're one of the rare companies that does sell a lot of 100 watt amps also,
yeah.
and 50 also. What's changed? I mean, just some added features, you know, you're starting to see more trends for, you know, IRs and amplifiers and things like that, IR impulse response loaders and amplifiers and things like that, built-in
mm-hmm.
loads and things like that.
You don't want this kind of stuff in your amp?
Oh, I didn't say that.
Okay. All right. One more question. You just mentioned the small box pedal you just
mm-hmm.
released. So
mm-hmm.
tell us a little bit more about this one.
So the small box pedal essentially simulates all the sounds out of the small box amplifier. So anywhere from, say, that plexi channel on 10, sort of that AC/DC sort of thing, to the higher gain channel of the small box. So the gain control is quite wide.
Okay.
So it can go in maybe, say, a quarter of the way up is like the plexi channel on 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, you know, a bunch more gain. It has a gain structure switch on the side, which kind of lowers the overall gain that the gain knob will get. And also it has the full EQ, so presence, treble, middle, bass, all in one size pedal, same size as the BEOD pedal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There is one last subject I would like to address. So I saw that during the tour you gave me that you receive here all the guitar built by Grover Jackson,
mm-hmm.
and you do a final sign-off on each guitar too. Do you do the same as what you do on the amp, or someone else is handling the guitar?
Mostly the guitars are handled by our guitar manager doing the final thing, but I see a lot of them that come in and look at them and see what's going to go out before the door, you know, before it goes out the door. My partner in Friedman that I have, Robert Navarette, he actually at the factory does final testing.
Okay.
So he goes through those guitars. Mm-hmm. So that's his job.
Okay.
It's sort of taking place of me, you know.
Okay.
So,
Dave, I want to thank you for having me here on Wednesday right after NAMM. So I know it is still quite a busy time and everybody's tired, but you really took some time to walk me around this huge facility. So thank you very much for your time, and I wish you all the best for 2020 and for the rest of the adventure. Thank you very
Excellent.
Much.
Excellent. Thank you. Good to see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.